Investing can be primarily about making a decent return on your money, but more and more investors these days are trying to get a decent return while also making the world a better place. The Collaborative Fund is an investment fund focused on both, centered around a couple of macro themes, the growth of the creative class and the concept of collaborative consumption. The Collaborative Fund is both for profit and for good. To tell us more about it is partner Morgan Hounsell. Hello there.
Thanks for having me.
I talk a lot on this show about socially responsible investing. We cover this from all sorts of different angles. But why I thought your focus was interesting was not only on the macro themes, but also on some of the through lines like cities, kids, and health. Before we get to that, those specifics, what brought you to looking at investing in this way? Why are you doing this and not running a 2-on-20 hedge fund on Wall Street?
Well, I think the first maybe broad misconception about the idea of investing for good is that it's really just kind of a blurred way of saying philanthropy, that investing in for good topics and companies is really just a way to go out and use money as a force for good. And I think that's only half true, because really embedded in our thesis is that just in the way that the world has been changing in the last 5 or 10 years, where everyone has so much access to information, and it's getting harder and harder for companies to hide behind bad or exploitative business models. The idea of doing good in companies that have a social mission beyond doing profit, those companies will actually attract the most loyal customers, the best employees, the most loyal investors. They'll have the best relationships with a lot of their suppliers just because they are companies that people want to associate themselves with. And because of that, those companies will actually earn the highest return for their investors. So it's not necessarily that we are investing in good companies and we are okay taking a lower investment return because we're doing good in the world, even though that in itself would be okay. And there are a lot of investment firms that do that. But central in our thesis is that these companies that are doing good for the world are probably actually going to be some of the companies that earn the highest returns for their investors over the next 10 or 20 years.
One of the themes talked about is collaborative consumption. If Uber were publicly traded in a super easy way, would you be a shareholder? And here's why I ask. I ask because that is a company that fits with that theme, but there's also so many cultural questions about how its business came to be and the current state of how it treats its employees and its drivers that would seem to make you go,
Yeah, so my answer would be no, but it would primarily be no because we are investors in Lyft. And actually, this is actually a great example of kind of our thesis in action. You have Uber and Lyft, which are effectively identical businesses. They offer the same product at virtually the same price. Even their user interface looks almost identical.
Like one has a hot pink mustache. That's a unique difference.
That's right. There are some minor differences. But really, the deepest difference, and we've seen this play out in the last 12 months, is that Uber's corporate culture, their corporate ethos, was kind of to go after the market as a shark and take no prisoners, and they were going to grow at all costs, and kind of viewed as a zero-sum world where if other people lost, that was their gain. And Lyft, I think, in the exact same business, the same industry, just took a little bit different approach, where their corporate ethos and how they presented themselves to the world, how they treated their internal employees and so forth, was just going to be rooted in a little bit more empathy and sympathy for their customers and their employees. And that in itself has given Lyft a tremendous advantage over the last 12 months over Uber. Uber is still a much larger company, but Lyft has gained tremendous market share over Uber in the last year, just kind of based off of its corporate ethos of trying to do a little bit better in the world versus an exploitative ethos of how can we get ahead the fastest.
One of the areas is cities, and we'll talk about the others in a second, but cities is one that I think, how is that investable? Can you give us some examples of how you would play that theme? I mean, it's a big topic, certainly in Toronto, where I'm hosting the show from. Cities is a big conversation. How do you invest that?
Yeah, I would say, the most notable example of us investing in cities is Lyft. Lyft is a company that is using technology and social networks to make it easier to live kind of in cities and urban environments. And it's the whole city's idea is based around this migration from suburbs into cities. And that's where most of the of population growth is certainly heading around the world. So we're just looking for companies that are using both technology and social networks to make that easier. So Lyft is an example. One other example is a company called MakeSpace that is using technology to make the storage industry to store your valuables that don't fit in your house or your apartment a little more easy. And then there are other companies that do mobile technology around areas of cities that don't have deep access to broadband, which is a big, I think, blind spot for a lot of upper income people that live in cities, is that there are outskirts of the cities or neighborhoods in cities that don't have strong access to broadband technology. And there are companies out there that are effectively trying to fill that gap. So it spans, several different subsectors under the city categories, but there are many different kind of companies that are trying to use their talents to make urban living more efficient.
What about on money? Because, I mean, this is my world. I cover it deeply. And there is a shortage of ideas that truly help people get a better handle on the spending side of their money. There's lots of, apps and budgeting, but there's very little that introduces friction into spending. There are many that reduce friction on spending. How do you view money? What's the big opportunity? And what's the for good part of it for you?
Well, I think the biggest opportunity for money is acknowledging that there is a tremendous amount of capital available to businesses and individuals that come from one segment of the population, where they are maybe highly educated, higher income, higher assets, tremendous amount of capital in terms of borrowing and raising equity, and an equally tremendous, I think, dearth of capital for another segment of the population that is unbanked, lower income. A different segment that is, and there are, in many ways, that is chicken and egg, because it's hard for that segment of the population that is underbanked, doesn't earn a relatively high income. It's hard for them to kind of move up because they have such low access to capital, whether that's a small business loan or something different. So the opportunity for us that we see is really the democratization of finance, where it's truly based off of a borrower's ability to repay versus kind of the broad segmented financing decisions that large bank makes from a really big top-down perspective, which a large bank has to do if they're going to make loans in a large scale. So there are a lot of smaller lenders today that are going into sections of the economy, sections of neighborhoods that have been traditionally ignored by banks, and making good quality loans to small businesses that are largely minority owned. So that's one of the biggest opportunities in money that we've seen. You kind of hinted before, there are all kinds of spending apps and budgeting apps. I mean, there are thousands of them. It's hard to turn those into a real viable business. So there are a lot of those companies out there. It's hard to look at it from an investing standpoint. So from our point of view, the biggest opportunity in money is really on taking a financial system that has been extremely rewarding to one segment of the population and trying to make it a little more equitably.
Interesting. Morgan, thank you very much for your time. I wish we had more of it to talk today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Morgan Housel is a partner with Collaborative Fund. He joined us from Washington, D.C.